On today's Media Clips podcast, Alon Haimov, partner and head of the entertainment media practice at Greenhass & Jenks, will be interviewing Tom Wolzian, an inventor, analyst, and media executive, and chairman of the Video Call Center. Today's topic will be centered around potential game changers in the film and television industry, and discussions around traditional media and streaming media in the marketplace.
Tom, welcome to our podcast. We really, really appreciate it and honored to have you today.
Thanks a lot. It's a pleasure to be with you.
We'll go ahead and get to the first question that we have for you, and it goes like this. With the emergence of streaming and new over-the-top networks and bundles, while the apparent loss of market share for traditional media is there, we want to get your opinion as to how you see these legacy companies who've been around for a long time and now facing this new force of over-the-tops and these bundles. We want to get your thoughts as to how they can react to maintain, or how are they reacting to maintain their competitive edge in the marketplace?
Well, there are two types of companies basically here. They're the guys that make the stuff and the guys that distribute the stuff. OTT, shipping stuff out by internet over the top, whether it's live or whether it's in an on-demand format, is a different distribution model from the traditional broadcast or cable distribution model. And as a result, that's where the real competition and fragmentation is occurring. If you make the stuff, if you're a producer of the stuff, as long as you're not locked into basic contracts that limit your ability to distribute, you now have new options to distribute. You can distribute not just in the traditional linear forms, but through VOD forms, through these new platforms, or you can develop a platform, try to develop a platform on your own. So the most threatened of the group are the people that are selling traditional routes to the consumer, and they're the ones that are potentially being fragmented. This would be the traditional cable package, the traditional satellite package, as well as the broadcast stations. So those are the ones that have to find alternative methods. And of course, the cable guys have, from the time they initiated broadband over 20 years ago, they've had an alternative route to the home, and in fact, they're enjoying that route as a way of collecting from the consumer, even as their traditional value add video packages get trimmed. So we have to be careful of saying, well, they're in trouble. What they're really doing is they're involved in a transition from a value-add video package to more of a commodity data package. And it's that transition of value-add to commodity that puts them in some downward pressure potentially upon where they're going and on their earnings. Separately, the people that have acquired satellite, specifically AT&T acquiring DirecTV, that actually was originally used to replace their landline video distribution package. And they too have the ability to go with data both across their hardwires as well as across their mobile. So they're somewhat protected. At some risk are the cable network operations that are locked into distribution contracts only with and through the legacy distributors. And that puts them in a more difficult position of trying to find new routes to the consumer in situations where they actually own the consumer rather than giving their material out to their distributors who have the distributor contacts, who have the consumer contacts.
And just as a follow-up to these types of companies, there is ongoing discussions between Viacom coming together with CBS, and obviously there's the pending merger between Disney and Fox. perhaps Comcast will go around and be able to steal Fox before Disney can close. There's just so much rumor about many of the distributors and studios looking to position themselves in the marketplace as you see that transition taking place. Maybe you can comment as well on how this is shaping up, I guess, in connection with competing with these over-the-tops.
Well, there are two things that are going on. One is pure scale. So if you're in a mature legacy business, part of the way that you live to fight another day is by consolidating and then, what people call synergies are basically getting costs out. Publicly traded company costs, sales and marketing costs, central operation costs, all of those things are targets in a consolidation and can be, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, which is helpful in terms of positioning you to have a better opportunity to be able to sort out the transition into the new technology distribution platforms. On the other side of that is having the content, as Disney does, and there's the speculation as Disney moves toward trying to compete with Netflix and other over-the-top services with content packages. If you've got all those content brands together, you have an opportunity to compete in an offering where you own sort of must-have content in competition with the newer companies like Netflix. So there are a couple of reasons I think that we see that happening: scale and synergies in the first place, and the ability to control a batch of valuable content, which lets you compete with the newer players.
Okay. So my next question is a bit long, so bear with me, and it actually has a couple of parts, but I do think it's very, very important development that I think many in the marketplace are trying to better understand and analyze, and it has to do with Netflix. So Netflix slated financial reporting to their investors. It is my understanding that they are borrowing billions and billions of dollars to be able to fulfill the commitment that they made in investing, I believe, $8 billion this year and perhaps more beyond. So their cash flow certainly is impacted since they are not making $3 to $4 billion a year, but they are borrowing $3 to $4 billion a year, again, to maintain that level of production. And while their international growth of subscribers appears to be significant now, where do you see Netflix in the coming couple of years to maintain their growth and their substantial investment on content? And can they stay competitive and sustainable? And finally, we wonder who could take their place as the leader in the streaming space as we move in the next 2 to 3 years?
A lot of questions there. A couple of statistics go with that. At the end of the first quarter of last year, they had $3.36 billion in debt. At the end of the first quarter of this year, they had $6.5 billion. So almost doubling the debt. At the same time, their subscribers continue to grow substantially. What's interesting is the subscribers in the U.S. are now up about 55 million paid, but internationally are at about 64 million paid subscribers. Well, if you look at a ratio of households to subscribers, there are about 120 million households in the U.S. and they have about 55 million subs in the U.S. paying. They're almost double that number of households in Europe. And they have 63, 64 million. So if you were a Netflix advocate, what you would be saying is there's vastly more potential upside internationally than there ever was in the U.S., and they've just scratched the surface internationally. So And a lot of the content, as you know, from, you know, just from scrolling through Netflix, a lot of their new content is international content, subtitled content, for English language subtitles, out of many different countries. So they are clearly looking at acquiring content that supports the increase in subscribers around the world. The challenges that anybody doing a international business face in terms of expansion are as you get into countries that are not as sophisticated, perhaps as the U.S. and as the Western European countries, you start to run into payment issues. Are the mechanics in place to actually same credit card systems and so on for payment? And since Netflix is really geared toward middle class to a great extent, there's the great growth of the global middle class that's going on, which speaks well for their future. On the other hand, middle class is defined as very different income levels in different countries. So what would be the equivalent of $10 a month in the U.S. Might well be significantly below that elsewhere in the world. So their ability to maintain the pricing becomes something of a challenge. But overall, if you look at their global penetration, if you believe that the model of adding households, adding subscribers, has just sort of scratched the international surface, even though they already have 65 million, then it justifies the debt. If you believe that international growth is dead-ended, then they've got a problem.
Good point. So as we look to the future and as they expand, obviously Amazon is now right where they are. And Hulu, I think at the moment, isn't, you know, an international competitor. I don't know if there are any Chinese competitors out there who are trying to also penetrate the same markets that Amazon is in. So I'm wondering, Amazon and Netflix, sorry. And so I'm wondering if you can comment on who could break that chain and create a marketplace to themselves and effectively become a threat to Netflix as we look next year or two.
I think that the only obvious possibility is really Disney, which has a globally accepted product and which has pulled it back out of, have a product if they do it independently of Netflix distribution or exclusive to their own. I think that when you look at Disney and their acquisition of what used to be the Major League Baseball technical distribution system, or what is known as BAM or BAMTech, there was a preparation there for heavy-duty simultaneous streaming on the technical side, and of course, as they've collected the fabulous properties from not only their own traditional ones, but from Lucas, from Marvel, and so on, they really have done a great job of getting their hands on sort of must-see global content. So, if there's a challenger there, I don't think it's Hulu, I don't think it's Amazon Prime. I think it's potentially Disney.
Okay. I guess time will tell. Next question is more of a kind of looking at the crystal ball, and as you look to even beyond the next couple of years, so up to the next 5 years, what and we wanted to share with, we wanted to see if you can share with us as best as you can project and predict what may be the biggest potential game changers in our industry, whether it's film or television related.
I think it's a continuation of the distribution patterns that we see, most specifically on mobile, that there are now 4 billion smartphones around the world. You know, there are like 7 billion and change people, and there are 4 billion smartphones. And every one of them can receive video. Something on the order of 2 billion plus data LTE subscriptions or other other subscriptions for data, but LTE, which gets their highest quality data available now. And so that means that wherever anybody is, basically, in the world, they can be watching the product of the content creators. And I think the shift from a fixed box, fixed display device to a portable display device that then when you walk into the room, you can flip the video onto the screen of your choice, really becomes a fundamental change. And it means that all video consumption becomes personal and where you are at that moment, rather than with any fixed location. That also argues that the ability to get your subscriptions for whatever they are on that mobile device is essential. And that to a certain extent places the carriers, the mobile carriers, in the role of the potential gatekeepers of tomorrow, which is why the argument in part over the ability to have free internet access or net neutrality, depending on where you are, is a crucial one, whichever side of the fence you're on. If you're on the carrier side, you want to be able to charge extra to Disney if it wants to get into the Netflix type of business, or to Netflix. If you're on the side of the Netflix or the Google YouTubes of the world, you want to make sure that you have as free access to every one of those phones and every one of those 4 billion people that you can have.
In connection with that advancement, you know, with technology, if you can share a little more about a particular project you had previously mentioned to me, Video Call Center, a little bit more about that project and, you know, where you see it going.
Well, thanks for asking. The Video Call Center, VCC, is a series of inventions and patents that that we have, and a company that we created that is providing mobile phone-based video origination and converts it into broadcast quality and puts it into broadcast quality programming for broadcast cable or the web. So specifically national shows on Discovery, on TLC, recently announced long-term contract with Major League Baseball to help tie their fans to players and managers and coaches in their web materials, and a number of other players. And it is a process of realizing that the best origination device that anybody has is their smartphone video, and that if you can find ways to take that and be able to convert it and make it into broadcast quality programming, suddenly you've eliminated all the limitations of access to wherever there are happen to be bureaus or happen to be crews, and you allow access to people about anywhere in the world or in the country. What it does is it eliminates the excuse that, oh, we can't put people on from Idaho or central Iowa or the mountains of Colorado because we don't have circuits out of there. What it means is that any broadcast or cable news operation should be able to access anybody in the country that has a story to tell.
Thank you. Now, that's really helpful. Thank you so much again for spending a few minutes with us to share your thoughts about the industry, Tom. So again, thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us on our podcast today. If you would like to reach Alon Haimoff, his contact information can be found at greenhessenjinks.com. And if you would like to reach Tom Wolzian, you can find his information at wolzian.com, WOLZIEN.com. Thank you again, and we look forward to joining you next time.